Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. I am so glad and elated some of you all stopped by the show today. We have an exciting topic today to talk about. And if anyone would like to chime in on the topic, please hit 1 on your keypad, and I will gladly bring you in. Even if you're not on your computer, you can use your phone. And if anybody needs the phone number, text them, area code 646-716-4389. That number again is area code 646-716-4389. Love to hear from them. Well, today before we start our program, let's have a word of prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for this broadcast today. We thank you for what you will do in this broadcast and on this broadcast for your people, dear Heavenly Father, because it's not about me. It's all about giving the word out that you give me, dear Heavenly Father, and the topic, dear Heavenly Father, in the blessed name of Jesus. God, cover everyone, dear Heavenly Father, everywhere around the world. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, and thank God. Well, today I'm going to talk about see God's goodness. And I know with that topic, all of you ought to see God's goodness this morning. Over in Psalms 27 and 3, the word of God said, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. You know, here in the above scripture verse, David faced hardship. Instead of questioning or doubting God, he praised him. That's what he wants us to do. We face hard time, hardship, but he don't want us to bellyache and complain. He don't want us to throw in the towel. He wants to praise him. So before we go to crying and, oh, poor little me, or this didn't work out, just get to break out with you a praise. For you know it, you're going to be the forgot all that you was going through, what seemed to be bleak. And inside of your praise, coming out of your praise, you're going to see things are much clearer, much brighter. God had been working on it all the time, but you didn't give him chance to complete it. You thought he was a sandy cloth. Just come down the chimney or whatever, and every whim, you got it right then and there. No, that's not the way God works. His goodness, when he woke you up this morning, you should have saw God's goodness. He started you on your way, even enabled you to have a phone today, to call in, to blog, talk, to Joy and Peace, to hear Overseer say to speak today. You know that's God's goodness right there. You have food on your table, clothing on your back. You have a job. Some of you all may be retired. But so just think about the goodness of God. You have a family. Family that love you. You have children, grandchildren. I'm just giving you some example on the goodness of God. He saved you above all. He sanctified you above all. He filled you with the precious Holy Ghost. We're talking today about seeing God's goodness. We can see God's goodness in everything that we do. When you are in time of doubt, turn to David, faith as a model, and declare that you will see goodness in the Lord. No matter what we're facing today, we can face God triumphantly because we know that, ooh, there that word again, and we know, woo, that all things work for the goodness of God. We know we can't make it without him. We know, you know, in and of itself, God's power is not nearly as comforting as when seen in light of several of his other attributes. You know, two of these attributes are the goodness of God and the wisdom of God. The God who is all-powerful is the same God who is good and wise. God's power becomes a source of great comfort and encouragement meant to the Christian. And I forgot to tell you my tag words today are goodness, respect, strength, and power. And I just bought out power by God's power become a source of great comfort and encouragement to all of us. You know, when you think about that, the importance of the goodness of God, you can say, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness everlasting. You'll find that in Psalms 107 and 1. And then if you go to Psalm 31 and 19, you say, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast stored up for those who fear thee, which thou hast wrought for those who take refuge in thee before the sons of men. And then if you go over to Hosea 3 and 5, it says, afterward the sons of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and they will come trembling to the Lord, to his goodness in the last days. Today we are talking about the importance of goodness of God, or, seeing the goodness of God. When you think about that, the goodness of God is not only an attribute of God, but a foundational truth every Christian should embrace. Consider some of the reasons God's goodness is important to you today. I will list a few. You will have some, and if you feel like coming on to talk today, hit one on your keypad, and I will gladly bring you in. You know, the goodness of God is prominent in the opening chapter of the Bible. Repeatedly, God pronounced everything which he created was good. You'll see that in Genesis 14, 1 and 4, 10, 18, and over in Timothy, you'll see it in 1 Timothy 4 and 4. In chapter 2, God saw that it was not good for Adam to be alone. And so he created a wife for him. In the Garden of Eden where God had placed Adam and Eve, there was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. From the fruit of this one tree, the man and woman were forbidden to eat. How many times God have forbidden you not only to eat, but to go certain places, do certain things, but you did it anyway, and he had already warned you, but you ignored him. He's trying to let you know about his goodness. He have better things for you. Don't take no wooden nickels, as you used to hear the people say. You know, we shall return to the matter of his goodness in the garden. But it's about an important truth. Suffers to say the issue of goodness and evil are prominent at the beginning of the Bible. The goodness of God appeared to be the sum total of all of God's attributes. The goodness of God may thus be viewed as one facet of his glorious nature and character, and also the overall summation of his new nature and character. You know, Moses was saying over in Exodus, then Moses said, I pray thee, show me thy glory. And he said, myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious in whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I shall compass. You'll find that Exodus 33:19. You know, we cannot separate what is good from God. You cannot have goodness without God, just as you cannot have God without goodness. God alone is good. It go hand in hand. Everyone that's on the line today, when you think about that, I say to the Lord, thou art my law. I have no good besides thee. You'll find that in Psalm 16 and 2. You know, no man is good, but God is. For the, when you think about a choir director, Psalm of David, the fools have said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominational deeds. There is no one who does good. Psalms 141, see Psalms 53 and 1, and Romans 39 and 18. You can read those at your leisure. God is the source of everything that is good. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. You find that in James 1 and 17. God does not withhold anything that is truly good for his children. You know, God is always giving you stuff, providing things for you, and you didn't even ask for them. You see the goodness of God and all that he's doing for you? Just look around. You're surrounded where you are right now. You can see the goodness of God. You have a place to stay. You have a roof over your head. You have food, clothing, everything you need. And when you think about it, that's the best thing that ever happened to you is God, the goodness of Jesus. We cannot separate good from God. He is where our society, and especially our educational system and religious section, have better take note. You cannot teach value. You cannot teach morals without teaching about God. Be ye holy. God said, I am holy. You'll find that 1 Peter 1:16 and Leviticus 11:44. We are talking about the goodness of Jesus. And when you think about all the things God has brought you through since the pandemic and before the pandemic, and especially since the pandemic, how God is still opening doors for you, closing doors, preparing food for you, drink, water, whatever you need. Here, God is a good God. You see his goodness in everything that he do for you. Even when you think this shouldn't have happened, but he's doing it for your good. It's going to pan out and you're going to see. When we think about man's eternal destiny, it's determined by his decision as to how one can truly be good in God's sight. You'll find that in John 5:28-29, Romans 31:26, and Titus 3:3-7. You can read those scriptures at your leisure. Apart from the divine revelation of the scripture, we cannot recognize true goodness. For it cannot be understood apart from knowing God, and seeing life from his perspective. This is precisely the point of Psalm 73, which we will not consider, for it gives us radical difference between definition of good. Let me turn over there now to Psalm 73. Let's see what it says. Okay. Psalm 73. And let's see which verse we're going to use. Well, we can start with the first verse. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet was almost gone. My steps had got well nigh slippery. For I was envious of all the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no branch in their jail, but their strength. Now, that word strength that we're using today, strength, is firm. They are not in trouble. Other men's neither are they plagued like other men. We're talking about the goodness of God. The things that God did for each and every person in the Bible, he did it for their good. They may not understood it right then, but by and by, just like our life, some things show up and show out and come into our life, and we feel we know everything. God still has something more to tell us, something more to show us in the name of Jesus. Here, you know, over in Psalm 73 also, Asaph, a Levite who was chief of the musician under David on 1 Chronicles 16:4-7-37 composed. My conviction is that the center theme of 73 is the goodness of God. The first and the last verse of the playing of the Psalms containing the word good. You know, cheering only that which is good. And he withhold nothing good from us. You know, God give us everything we desire just about it. Only way he don't give it to us, he tell us, wait, not time, later. He have many ways of communicating with us and letting us know what thus saith the Lord. We must take this truth of God's goodness one step further. God allow nothing to happen to the Christians which is not good. We all know this passage well. And we know that God calls all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Not our purpose, but his purpose. So we're coming today to just tell God how much we love him, how much we adore him, how much we just giving him praise. We giving him glory because he is worthy. He is really, truly worthy to be praised. God is just so good. God is a good God. No matter how you try, God is still good. He's still opening doors for us. I mean, God is so, his goodness. Oh, my, 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 my. And, you know, we may be convinced of God's goodness and yet doubt everything which happened to us is good. We carefully avoid blaming God because we know he is good. So we blame Satan for our trials and tribulation. Or we can always blame people. May I remind you, Paul's thorn in the flesh was brought about by a message of Satan, 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. And yet God permitted this so his strength might be manifest through Paul's weakness. 12:7-10. And the evil Joseph's brother intended against him, God intended for good. You'll find that in Genesis, the 50th chapter and the 20th verse. Whatever comes into the life of the Christian is part of God's purpose to bring about our good and his glory. You know, we must conduct and conclude that teacher who teach us God want only to bless us with the healing and prosperity of this life or in truth false teaching. That teaching lead Christian to the same conclusion Asaph reached in error, a conclusion which upon reflection he confessed to being evil, beastly, knowing God is not the way to the good life as taught by the good life gospelers. In fact, as Asaph indicated along with countless others in the Bible, suffering is often the means by which we come to know God more intimately. You know, we have to go through some things sometimes to appreciate God, to know him, just like I was just saying, more intimately. Let me take me a drink of water. God is so good. God is good all the time. I'm on my program. I'll call you as soon as I get off.
Okay. You want me to deliver that now?
Huh?
You want me to deliver you?
You all be blessed. And we'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye. Everywhere.